Thanks to everyone for coming out this Saturday evening in Salt Lake City. Thanks to those who download these talks as podcasts from iTunes. We invite your comments, correspondence, and feedback by email us at utahchristians@gmail.com. We also have a membership class at our website, utahchristians.org. I'd like to thank those that have taken the membership class, become members. We couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder and acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today we'd like to talk to you about radical faith, not average, ordinary faith, but extraordinary radical faith. Average faith, help me to survive this recession. Extraordinary faith, Lord, I believe that you will prosper me in the middle of the recession. When you have extraordinary faith, you don't just believe to make your house payment, but you believe to totally pay your house off. You don't ask God to help you control your addiction, but you ask Him to totally set you free. Radical faith is extreme. It's where you believe that Krishna or God can do anything. People with radical faith don't make little plans. Oh, let me go as far as my parents. Let me do what they did. No, radical faith asks for a double portion. Let me do twice as much as those who went before me. Give me twice as much influence, twice the wisdom, twice the friends, twice the creativity, twice the income. Well, true. That's kind of bold. Who do you think you are? I'll tell you who I think I am, and I'll tell you who I think you are too. We're children of the Most High Almighty God. And I know something about God, which is that He Himself doesn't thrive on adulation, the number of followers. He's Atmarama, self-sufficient. He loves, therefore, to promote His devotees above Himself. He loves to work through people of extraordinary faith to change history and make the world a better place. In the Kurukshetra War, we read in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna personally could have destroyed the entire Kaurava army in 1 hour, but he worked through Arjuna in order to achieve the same result in 18 days, thus giving the credit to Arjuna, his devotee who had extraordinary faith. Some of you today have average faith, and that's good. You just want to make it through. But if you want to see Krishna amaze you with His goodness, you need to take it one step further over into extraordinary faith. Take the limits off of Krishna, believe that you can rise higher, and overcome every obstacle. Our faith is what pleases Krishna. If you want to be more pleasing to Krishna, then learn to release your faith in a greater way. George Mueller was born in 1806. He had a radical faith in God. He started out his life as a career criminal, cynically joined the ministry thinking that church people would be a soft touch and he could raid the collection plates with impunity. Somewhere along the line, he had a genuine change of heart and became a missionary. In Bristol, England, he and his wife ran an orphanage that provided for the needs of thousands and thousands of children. Cholera was rampant in the area at that time, and many children had lost their parents and were starving on the streets. He established 12 houses called breakfast clubs where the kids could come and get a hot meal every day. He ran these without ever once asking man or woman for a single penny's contribution. They never held a fundraiser, a capital campaign, or took out a loan. The only thing they asked was to depend upon God. They believed that God would provide, and every day God did. Time and time again, money or physical items were donated to the orphanage as a direct answer to prayer. Often, it was the exact amount of money or the exact item specifically prayed for. One story in particular stands out. One morning, George was in his office meeting with his associates when he was interrupted by the matron of one of the 12 orphan houses. She told him that the children were sitting at the table ready for breakfast, but there wasn't anything to eat. George got up and he went to the dining hall. When he arrived, he saw all the children were standing at the table set with empty plates and cups. He prayed a simple prayer along with the children. Quote, "Dear God, we thank you for what you're going to give us to eat. Amen." The children took their seats. Moments later, there was a knock on the door. A baker had arrived with trays of beautiful bread, claiming he hadn't been able to sleep the night before and was compelled to bake bread for the orphanage. God had already been working the night before to answer the prayer that George would pray in the morning. Not only that, after the bread had been given to the children, there was another knock on the door. It was from a milk delivery man whose cart had broken down right in front of the door, and he donated all of his fresh raw milk. But what do we learn from this? When you release your faith in extraordinary ways, then you'll begin to see Krishna or God do extraordinary things in your lives. The medical report may not look good, but we have another report. The financial report may not look good, but we have another report. And that report is that God's favor surrounds you. When you tap into his extraordinary favor with extraordinary faith, there's a boldness to ask for his goodness in uncommon ways. We read in the Srimad Bhagavatam about Kardama Muni. Kardama Muni lived in the forest with dreadlocks down to his waist in a cave somewhere. He was chanting daily, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, doing his puja, offering some roots and leaves to the deity of the Lord there. He thought that if he could get a nice wife, he would be able to multiply his service. We just celebrated Diwali last week. Diwali celebrates Lakshmi, the feminine energy or Shakti. When a good man unites with a good woman, the result is not addition. They don't double their efforts. The Sanskrit word for woman is stri, who expands. The factor is not addition, but multiplication. So it occurred to Kardama Muni that if he could get a good wife, he would be able to multiply his service to the Lord. But he wasn't exactly the eligible bachelor of every girl's dreams. He had no money. He wasn't particularly good looking. He wasn't even young. But he had a boldness to ask Krishna for a wonderful wife. It wasn't a few days later until Shyambhuva Manu, the lord of the entire earth planet, came to the forest ashram of Kardama Muni, bowed down, and described Kardama Muni as his lord. He said, "My kingdom is actually yours. It's created by God. It belongs to God. And you are the most faithful. You have the most extraordinary faith of anyone to God. So it's your kingdom. I'm just managing it for you. And while I'm here, I want to ask you, would you deign? Would you be kind enough to accept my 16-year-old daughter, Devahuti, as your wife?" When you exhibit your faith in extraordinary ways, then God works in such a way as above and beyond. "Well, Charu, I don't want to bother Krishna. If he wants to make me well, he'll do it. If he wants me to get out of this financial situation, he'll do it." No, you have not, because you ask not. My question is, do you go beyond your daily needs to ask for Krishna's extraordinary favor? People go to the church, "Our Father in heaven, give us our daily bread." Why do you have to ask for bread? The ants are getting their bread, the birds are getting their bread. Why do you have to go to ask for bread? Ask for something extraordinary. It's not denying reality to factor ultimate reality into your hopes, your dreams, and your prayers. We're not sticking our head in the sand, forgetting what the experts are saying, but there's another expert who holds you in the palm of his hands. How could Prabhupada, our spiritual master, do what he did? He was 7 years old. He had no money, no connections in America, wasn't even in particularly good health. He got on a boat and he came to America in 1965. And what was his mission? To transplant the highly moral, orthodox, Brahminical culture of India into the counterculture of America. And two cultures couldn't be more further apart. They couldn't be more polarized. Counterculture of America in 1965 was turn on, tune in, drop out. LSD, pot, free love. How could he do that? And I'll tell you. Extraordinary faith. He didn't settle where others would have settled. When all the odds were against him, instead of giving up, he believed that where he didn't see a way, Krishna would make a way. He was bold enough to ask for Krishna's favor, and Krishna took him places that we could barely dream of. Our question today is, what's holding you back? It's easy to make excuses. I come from the wrong family. I've had this problem for too long. The economy's down. I've made too many mistakes. I'm here today to tell you that Krishna can still get you to where you need to go. I want to light a new fire under you today. No obstacle is too difficult for you to overcome. Ask yourself this one question. Is my faith radical enough? Is it big enough to incur criticism? The fear mongers, the people who say, who do you think you are? You're too big for your britches. If you're not stretching your faith, overcoming your critics and your naysayers, then you're not tapping into everything that Krishna has in store for you. He uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Lots of times, the people with the good looks, the people with the resources, the people with the connections, they're sitting on the sidelines, on the bench, while the people with extraordinary faith are out in the field scoring the touchdowns. What would happen if each one of us asked, Lord, let me do twice what my parents did. Let me do twice what my guru did, who did twice what his guru did. I was in the room with Srila Prabhupada in Australia, and he told me, he said, I have done twice what my guru did. And my guru did more than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is God himself. Lord Chaitanya came 500 years ago and he established the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But he didn't establish any institution to systematically propagate the chanting of the holy names. Comes along Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, established 64 temples throughout all of India. Prabhupada said, I did twice what my guru did. I established 108 temples. But let's pray like that. Let's have twice the influence, twice the wisdom, twice the favor, twice the income. Not just can we continue what Prabhupada started, we have to believe that we can go further. This is not arrogance. Any father is happy when the son overtakes them, when the son does more than the father. That's what the father wants. The father is pleased when the child does more. In 1977 in Mayapur, we have a convention every year, a worldwide gathering in our headquarters in West Bengal, and there were 700 young people packed in the hall there. Prabhupada was giving a lecture in the morning. He was to pass away in November of 1977, and this is March. So we really only had a few more months with us. His health was already failing. He's giving a talk in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I forget what the subject matter was, but he broke off from his talk. He looked out at 700 disciples, 20, 25, 30, and began to cry. He said, I'm an old man, my time is done. But each one of you has 50 years of preaching ahead of you. And he was crying in transcendental envy. He said, if each one of you, I have established 108 centers. If each one of you establish 108 centers, or if each one of you establish 50 centers, or if each one of you establish 20 centers, or if each one of you establish 10 centers, or even if each one of you establish one center, it'll create a spiritual revolution, the like of which the world has never seen. Krishna intends every generation to increase. If you'll take the limits off of Krishna and have radical faith, you'll see him do uncommon things in your life. Robert Morrison
founded the first truly successful missionary movement in China, the First China Mission.
While he was working 12 hours a day as an apprentice in a shoemaker's shop in London, some or other, he got infected with a desire to spread the gospel far and wide over the world. Not only that, but he prayed, quote, to go to that part of the missionary field where the difficulties were the greatest and to all human appearances the most insurmountable. And that was China. At that time in China, if you were a missionary and you said anything about the Bible or Jesus or passed out a tract, every citizen in the country was encouraged by the government to take out his sword and cut you down right on the spot. No arrest, no trial, no due process. If you were cut down, the government would actually reward the citizen. After his arrival in China, he was asked if he expected to have any spiritual impact on the Chinese. He answered, no, I don't expect that I will have any spiritual impact on the Chinese, but I do expect that God will. If we'll step up and believe the uncommon, then what is extraordinary to us will be ordinary to future generations. How many youth in Utah think nothing about coming to the services and the festivals at this temple, and especially the long-standing 40-year temple in Spanish Fork, Utah? Several generations have cycled through there. There are state senators, there are entrepreneurs who are worth millions and millions of dollars who came three or four generations ago to the Spanish Fork temple when they were in the Head Start program. Kirtan, 30 years ago, was lunatic fringe. Now there's Grammy Awards for Kirtan singers. 50,000 young people turn up at the Spanish Fork Festival of Colors the last week in March and chant Kirtan like there's no tomorrow. Vegetarians were freaks. I remember as a 12-year-old boy in Ligonier, Pennsylvania, right next to Arnold Palmer's Latrobe, my father was a golf fanatic, and he played golf with the vice principal of Greensburg High School, a wonderful man named Bill Yates. But Bill Yates was a vegetarian, and he was also physically handicapped. He had a twisted spine, he had a hunchback, he was only about 4 feet 10 inches tall. And I remember in my ignorance, as a 12-year-old boy, thinking that the reason he had those handicaps was because of his vegetarian diet. Now I know that, you know, Carl Lewis was a vegetarian, Dave Scott, 8 times winner, the Iron Man is vegetarian, 3 or 4 Mr. Universes are vegetarian. But that's the way you thought back then. Today, vegetarians are more than the combined population of the United States, Great Britain, Germany, and France combined, and that's just in the Western world. They would comprise the greatest nation in the world. They could combine and they change the course of history. Don't be satisfied with the status quo. Krishna, God, wants you to go further. He wants you to set a new standard. He wants you to believe for a double portion. Be bold and say, Krishna, let me go twice as far as those who have gone before me. And some of us, I know, you're facing a situation that looks too far gone. It seems too late. But you got to have an even now faith. The medical report says you're done. Your marriage is on its last legs. Your child hasn't spoken to you in 2 years. You're down to your final unemployment check. That's when you got to dig in your heels and say, Krishna, I know that even now you can still turn it around. Even though it looks dead. Even though it looks I'll never accomplish my dreams. Even though it looks like I'll never be vindicated. No, when you have this radical faith, it's not over until Krishna says it's over. Krishna can bring back dead dreams, dead health, dead marriage, dead finances. He can even snatch you back from the very jaws of death itself. When you're down to nothing, know that Krishna is up to something. Prabhupada tried to establish a center in a medium-sized city in India called Jhansi. Worked there for 4 years. A wealthy man loaned him a fairly spacious complex there. He held programs, he observed festivals, he made one disciple. After 4 years, just when he was starting to get a little traction, stirring up some interest in the community, the rich man's wife convinced him to pull the property back from underneath Prabhupada's feet and give it to a friend of hers who wanted to start a sewing factory. At the time, Prabhupada was thinking, 4 years I spent, and I had so little, and even that you took away. Krishna, why? Later on, Prabhupada said, the reason that Krishna leveraged me out of Jhansi is because he wanted me in the open field. He didn't want me to get stuck in Jhansi. He wanted me in London. He wanted me in New York. He wanted me in Los Angeles. He wanted me in Cape Town. He wanted me in the open field. And what looked like the end was really just the beginning. What looked like a closed door was really just a prelude for a much wider, worldwide, international door to be thrown open. Shake off disappointment. Shake off going around all negative and defeated. I'm here to tell you that God is still on the throne. He's still in control. What you thought was the end is going to be the beginning. He can take you from down in the pits up and elevate you to impacting the world, making a mark on your generation and leaving it much better than you came. He can give you favor that nobody can snatch away. He can open doors that nobody can close. He can empower to do things that you would never be able to do on your own. He can turn impossible situations around. He can resurrect dead dreams. And when it's all said and done, you'll be able to finish your race and say that God has been good to me. He's shown up and shown out in my life in amazing ways. Thank you very much for your kind attention. And if you receive this message, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare
Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna
Krishna.
Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.